Cool. Good morning, everyone. For those who don't know me, my name is Rian. I lead the congregation here together with a beautiful group of elders. We now have one guy that kind of dropped the beauty of the elders a little bit, but we'll work on him. Quibus. I'm joking. He's a good guy. Looking forward to what God is going to do in his life and through him. God's blessing adds no sorrow. Amen. And so there's only good things ahead for us. So last night we had such an encouraging message from Jonathan Stanfield, who we recognize as an apostolic gift into us as Josh Jane and within the confines of 412 and what we believe to be also the kingdom. And such a pointed message for us to actually take hold of and then to make sure that it works into our lives. Amen? Because it's no good hearing a good word if we're not planning on allowing it to penetrate our hearts and then work with it. And it's really amazing to see just that God wants a double portion for us. It's so amazing to know that. It's amazing to know that God and the way that He thinks of you and thinks of me, when He thinks of us, He thinks, I want to give you abundance. Because so oftentimes we can find ourselves in a place where we think that, God, just give me the scraps. I'll be okay with that. But actually, God's heart is that we have His kingdom. And His kingdom is full of life. It's full of abundance. And that's what Jonathan said to us last night, is that God wants a double portion for us. That's His heart towards us. Last week, we spoke about the different soils. And just when the Word of God comes, there's the rocky soil or the footpath, the rocky soil, the thorny soil, and there's the good soil. And we saw actually that the heart of God, even in that, is that as His Word comes to us, that when it penetrates our hearts, that it produces a harvest that is 30, 60, 100-fold more than that which has been given. Again, what I'm hearing is not just double portion. I'm hearing abundance. And that is God's heart for us. All throughout Scripture, God does abundantly more. In everything, there's just the abundance of God. When we were in Montague, I preached something of a similar word in terms of the soil, but with a little bit of a different slant to it. And one of the guys in the congregation is a farmer, and he came up to me afterwards, and he said to me, you know what, I'm a farmer, and for 40 kilograms of seed that we sow into the ground, We harvest 4 ton of grain. So when you do the counting, it's 100-fold. Now nature has been created by God. And so nature can't choose whether it wants to follow God's way or not. It just does it. Because it's the way God made it. And so even in that, we see this example that actually when it receives it, because it's been made to receive it, that the purpose is it goes into 100-fold. Nature doesn't have a choice. Me and you, we've got a choice. God puts it in nature, shows that this is what it can be. And He gives us this privilege of choice to follow Him, choice to submit ourselves to Him, choice to give ourselves to Him. And He shows us in nature, He shows us actually when He does something, what the potential is of what it can be. And in Scripture we hear this, how much more than the lilies of the field, than the birds of the air, does God love us? And so how much more? If we're allowing ourselves to, for the seed of God to penetrate our hearts and penetrate our lives, how much more would we see the blessing of God come through? Jonathan gave us a picture last night of the apple, the seed, and the tree. And he asked, which one do you want to be? Do you want to be the apple or do you want to be the tree? But what's amazing to think is like the apple versus the seed. the seed looks like this. It's this dry little thing that gets stuck in your teeth if you bite into it. But what is held up within that small little seed? Who knows how many apples is in there? Who knows? And that's what God wants for us. That's what His Word has the ability to accomplish in our lives if we're willing to receive it. And God's heart for us is a double portion. God's heart for us is a hundredfold abundance. Not so that we can have much, but so that who we are can example who He is in us, in this world. And He's looking at you and He's looking at me and He's saying, I want you to example and to be my ambassador, to be my appeal to the world out there. What a privilege. What a privilege. See, God's heart for us is to live in the fullness of His kingdom. To live in the fullness of His kingdom. And not just be there, but be sons in His house. Understanding that His kingdom belongs to us. That it's my Father's house. It's my Father's kingdom. He doesn't want us to feel like orphans or even enemies or foreigners in a place. No, He wants us to feel and to know that we are sons. For the men, we're only going to be the bride. For the ladies, you're going to be the sons. Amen? It's a joke. You can laugh. It's okay. God has called us to be sons in His house. And I want you to think about that for a moment. That you're a son in His house. That's the place that He's. Whether you are living in that right now, whether you believe it right now, or whether you know that actually I feel like an imposter, I feel like an enemy to God, I feel like an orphan in God's house, I feel like I'm a foreigner in a distant land. If that is you this morning, that's okay. Because the invitation from God is not that you stay in that way. The invitation from God is, I don't want you to be an orphan. I don't want you to be an enemy. I don't want you to be a foreigner no longer. I want you to be a son in my house. I want you to be mine. Because we are His. We are His. And there was a time that we were His completely. But because of Adam and Eve, we were lost to Him. But He's made a way for us to come back. And the Word says that Jesus has come to seek and save out all those who are lost. He's made a way for us to come in and no longer be lost. Amen? So this morning, I would like to show us, actually, just how we can posture ourselves to receive the fullness of the kingdom, and most importantly, to actually come to a place of where we see the face of our Father. Because that's what I know is, that is the desire in all of our hearts. Amen? That is the desire that is burning in our hearts. It's we all want to be known by God. We all want to know that I've got a place with Him. And we love hearing the promises and the word that goes out that says how much God loves us. And when we hear it, even if there's an exterior opposition to that, on the inside, when you're alone at home, when you're just sitting and you're wondering about the world and you try to put down your head at night on your pillow and just your life is in some sense playing off in your mind, the thing that is in our hearts is that, man, I really wish I can just meet God. I really wish I can just see Him. I really just want to know that he is real. Everyone thinks like that. Even when they say I don't. And sometimes people make a big point of trying to show you, no, I don't believe that there is a God. But can I tell you, that is impossible. It's impossible for you to really kill that part in your life that says there is no God. Because you've been made by God to have that thing in your heart that says, I belong to God. You've been made with it. And as much as you fight against that thing, somewhere along the line, that thing will come up. But one day there's going to be a moment where you can't answer that feeling anymore. You'll just realize, I fought it, I tried to kill it, I tried to suffocate it as long as possible. And now it's too late to answer it because I see that actually he is real. And so this morning, as much as that's a desire in our hearts, sadly many of us, it's just a desire. We don't want to pursue that desire. We want it to be given to us so that we have it. But actually, God gives it to us. And we are not like animals. And we are not like the created rest of creation that has got no will. No, he's given us a will. That is his love to us. Is that we would choose him. And so God will never just push himself onto us. He will always bring us to a place of where we need to choose. Because contrary like popular belief, we don't have an animal nature. Because we're not from animals. No, we're created by God to live and to walk and to think for ourselves. And so that desire to love God and to know him and to be loved by him is in all of us. But not all of us choose to pursue it. And my prayer this morning is that as we hear the word, that we will say, God, I want to pursue it with all of my life. Not because of who I am, but because of who you are and because of what you have done. I will pursue you. Amen? So can we close our eyes for a moment? That one is for Facebook. I heard I was commenting, yeah, anyway. So just close your eyes. My hope is that our eyes this morning can be set towards the pursuit of the face of God. Just like the grain follows the way God has made it, that this morning we will follow how God created us to be, to love him with all of our hearts, our mind, our strength, our desire, and everything that we have, that will be set towards following him. And so Jesus, would you come and do that? Would you come and work in us here this morning? Amen. So I want to start off in Psalm 63. Let me read it for us. You, God, are my God. I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land, where there is no water. I've seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift my hands. I'll be fully satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I cling to you. Your right hand upholds me. Beautiful. Beautiful psalm of just desire towards God. But can I just for a moment just show us where the psalm is coming out from? Because this is not just random songs and things that has been put together to go, cool, these things sound like a poem and a song, and so we keep it into the Psalms. No, there's actually a real story behind this. And so here's the context of it. In 2 Samuel 14 to 16, we see where Absalom, David's son, basically does the most unthinkable thing. And he overthrows the throne of his father, David. And in overthrowing the throne, he actually goes and says, we need to catch our dad, my dad, and we need to get him. And so David is basically on the run. And his kingdom has been taken by his son in kind of like a military, whatever, coup, kind of like it would have been on CNN, okay? And he is in danger. He's in a place of where, like, life is not great at all. And can you imagine for a moment that your son or your child and everything that you've built and worked hard for comes and he goes like, hey, dad, this is now mine. And you've got to run for your life. And in that place of David losing everything, he runs into the wilderness. Actually to the Mount of Olives. And this psalm comes to mind. In the place of where he knows he can't go home. He's lost everything. He's lost what God has given him. He's alone. And he's hunted. It's like there's an enemy that wants his blood. And this enemy is not just an enemy. It's his own son. But the thing is, it's the thing that got David there that is important for us to see today. Because the thing that got David there was his love for his son. He loved his son so much, Absalom, that when Absalom committed a murder, he murdered his half-brother, Amnon. Am I saying it right? He murdered his half-brother. And instead of David upholding the law of the land and being the king, being the example that actually this is a nation under God, and we need to uphold the justice and the righteousness of God, David doesn't deal with it because he loved his son so much. And the effects of that caused Absalom to actually get to a place where he actually overthrew his father. And took the very thing that God has given David, the very thing that probably would have been given even to Absalom, he takes it in an illegitimate way. And it all started with David's love. That was a love that is more towards himself than actually towards God and the ways of God, trusting in God. And when reading this, kind of like it kind of struck me at how easy it is for us to actually fall in love with things that even look great, that look like it could be even God to us. But so often the things that even God gives us, our love tends to go to these things instead of loving the one who has given us all things. And that love then overcomes us to a place of where we ourselves find ourselves in a place of a wilderness, find ourselves in a place of struggle, find ourselves in a place where we cannot make heads and tails from what is happening in our lives. Are you guys with me? And that's exactly what happened with David here. He loved his son so much and he didn't deal with it. Didn't honor God. But then what we see here is that in that place, he actually reaches out to God. And that's that scripture that we just read. He says, God, you are my God. I earnestly seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water. Because he has lost everything, he came to a place of where he realized everything is dry. There's no water. There's no replenishing. There's no release. I've lost it. And in that place, he comes back to God and he says, Lord, I long for you. I long for you. My heart earnestly seeks you. And this morning, that is in some sense where I want to draw us towards. And so we might be sitting here and we might have things that we love that has taken our thoughts, taken our hearts, even sometimes taken, it cost us everything to follow these loves. And in a place where we're sitting, where it's dry and parched and it's a wilderness, where I want to say to you, the very place that even in your worst wilderness, in the driest of lands, there God is still. And if you reach out to him, if you can fix your eyes and find the strength to say, God, I look for you, I believe that there is redemption. I believe that there is a renewing. Because sometimes we do actually need to lose certain things to realize what is most important to us. See, I believe for us, and my time is running out very quickly, our prayers are oftentimes spent, and our faith is oftentimes spent on more the things that we actually love than the one who gives. And we see that picture, even we've gone through it. In Matthew 6, we see that picture. Luke 12, we've gone through it. We see that picture where Jesus says, like, I actually understand everything that it is that you need. I understand what you need for life. And if you think about the fact that we are created by God, then it means that he understands and completely knows exactly what it is that we need for life and for living. Amen? And in that place, God is saying, but first seek the kingdom. Seek me out. And everything else will be added unto you. Why? Because I know what it is that you need. But oftentimes, we spend our thoughts, our desires, our love, our time, our prayers, our faith on the things that we feel we need. I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand, but I want to ask you a question. How many of us put your head down at night, and then when you dream, or when you kind of like just close and it's dark, you think about, oh, that car, or that shoes, or that watch, or that this, or that job, or that house. We can dream. You know, I found myself sometimes dreaming, what if I won the lotto? What would I do? And trying to make it super spiritual. God, I'll gift your church. I've never played the lotto. Just a disclaimer, okay? Just, I won't do it, okay, ever. So I can't win it, okay? If I did, I would win, okay? Okay. No, but like, and so oftentimes I find even in my own heart going like, Lord, I'm thinking of this thing. And in that moment, I've set something aside for myself. And when I start thinking like that, I need to remind myself. It's like, wake up, get back. And then immediately, the moment I find my heart in that place, I start praying and saying, God, I'm going to rather pray for your kingdom. I want to pray for your kingdom. I want to pray for your spirit. I want to pray, God, for your kingdom to be established in my life. I don't need X, Y, Z, W to the end of the alphabet. I think Z was the end. Hey? Yeah. So let me quickly ask you this. If you were God, what would you think about your prayer life and your pursuit of God? Can I repeat that? If you were God, what would you think of your prayer life and your pursuit of God? That's a big question. And you know what? I'm very thankful I'm not God. Would you feel that you're only being used? Hey, I'm in trouble. Hey, I need this, God. Hey, Lord, I really want that thing. Would you feel like you are absolutely sold out? For myself, man, I would, not be very happy with me. But we're thankful. We're thankful that we are not God. And God doesn't think like us. Can I read a scripture? Romans 3, verse 23. It says this. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet, God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. That's how God looks at it. And so you might be sitting here this morning and you go, I've spent my prayers, I've spent my faith on what I want, what I desire, and in those places I've become disappointed. And so even my good feelings towards God, I've spent it because God didn't come through in the way that I wanted it. And so now I end up feeling like an enemy of God actually when I come to God. Because I don't know, am I welcome? I don't know, does He have space for me? Does He love me? Because everything that I've asked for, He didn't give it to me. What can I tell you? If that's how you feel this morning, I want to say to you, I'm glad that you're feeling like that. Because that means you have seen and you have tasted that focusing on those things does not work. But instead of staying in that place this morning, I want to encourage you to understand that it doesn't work and then change the way that you do things. Change the way you approach God. Because what we've read here is that He's made a way for us to be in right standing with Him. And to be in right standing with God means that everything that is God's is yours. Not because you've earned it. Not even just because you can take it. No, because He wants to give it to us. Luke 12, we've read. I'm now jumping here, but Luke 12, we read this. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. It's like that's what He wants to give us. But we need to be in right standing with Him. And if there's a disappointment or even an offense in our hearts towards God, this morning we need to lay that down. I say, God, come and take it away. God, I don't want that thing to influence the way that I think of you, feel about you, live for you. I want to live freely in your presence, knowing that I'm I'm invited to you and your household. You, Jesus, you've made room for me in your house that I can be a son in your house. Hebrews 4, verse 14 says this. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. This high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. He understands. He's mindful of it. For he faced all of the same testings we do. Yet he did not sin. And here comes the beautiful part. So, let us boldly come to the throne of our gracious God. Gracious God, not angry God, not selfish God, not a God that's withholding. No, a gracious God. Let us come boldly to our God who is a gracious God. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. And there we will receive his mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. See, that is God's heart for us. That is God's heart for us. All of us here this morning. We want to ask, and this one I need you to put your hands up. Who here is facing financial struggles? Put your hand up. Don't be shy. I'm not going to ask you to do anything about it. Just put your hand up. Spiritual challenges in your prayer life. Keep your hand up. If you've put your hand up, keep your hand up. Relational challenges. Mental challenges. Keep your hand up. Everyone, keep your hand up. If your hand goes up, it stays up. Physical challenges. Okay, is there anyone that don't have their hand up? Roland. Roland doesn't have his hand up. That's amazing. Roland, can you please come and preach? No, he's joking. He's not a deacon. I can... We all have challenges. Each and every one of us have challenges. And the place where we find and overcome those challenges is not in us necessarily at first making better decisions. Sometimes it is. But even though better decisions, if it is rooted in you keeping the love that you have, the things that you love, the things that you value, the things that you think is important to you, even the things that God has given you, if your aim is to keep those things, you will end up like David, where those very things takes whatever he's had and comes to kill what God has given him. So instead, let's fix our gaze to heaven. Let's fix our hearts to say, God, I need you more than what I need. You see, the double portion, the hundredfold, has got very little to do with life this side of eternity. I'm sorry if that's a disappointment for you. It's not for me, to be honest. The double fold, the double portion, the hundredfold, it's got everything to do with his kingdom. Because his kingdom is abundance. In his kingdom, I'm a son. I've been given all things. There's nothing that I need. Not health, not love, not there's nothing that is not covered by his kingdom. And his kingdom is primarily for what is to come. And so therefore, I can be in a dry and parched land, but still my heart goes, God, I need you. I seek you. you are all that I have. And I believe that's in this psalm where we see what David came to. Don't be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. So let's maybe close our eyes.